to Kingdom Concepts. I'm Keith Fields. Thanks for tuning in. Hallelujah. Before we get started today, I'd like to say a prayer and make an announcement. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another beautiful day, another opportunity to get it right, another opportunity to get to know you, another opportunity to receive the blessings and the gifts of being your servants. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We pray, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to remind you that the 23rd of this month, we are having a praise festival at 920 Euclid Avenue. That's right across the street from the Westcott Community Center at Irwin First United Methodist Church. And we'll be having a free food giveaway, and there will be Geneva Hayden, her literacy group will be there, and Matthew 25 Farms will be donating the produce, and we'll have Minister Whisper, he'll be there with his crew, with the Holy Hip Hop, and we'll have the Lighthouse Church of God worship team there, and the Irwin First worship team, and we'll have a lot of other people there. And so we just invite you to come on out. There'll be a lot of things going on, and we'd like to have you join us as we lift up the name of the Lord and praise him. Amen. So that's going to be July the 23rd from 2 to 5 p.m. at Irwin First United Methodist Church. That is from again, from 2 to 5 p.m., that's 920 Euclid Avenue. So come on out on the 23rd and join us, enjoy yourself, and if you're in need of food or if you're in need of prayer or just lifting up the Lord, you want to praise and magnify the Lord, and you want to hear some good, clean music and some gospel and praise and hip-hop music, come on out. Okay. Yesterday, we talked about, we were over in Romans chapter 6, and we talked about the law of God and judgment, grace, and we got a little bit into how that all relates, and how the civil law and is like God's law in some respects to judgment. And we talked about how we are going to have to face judgment, and how we deal with the laws and things in our everyday life. And so I want to read something to you from the book of Isaiah, and it's Isaiah chapter 14, and we're going to go verse 12 to round about verse 14, and it reads like this: How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Amen. Now that's the word of God. What is it talking about? It's talking about Satan and how he wants to be like God. He wants to be worshipped. He wants to rule. And he wants to rule over God's creation as God. And we know as believers that he will not be successful because it is written in God's word where he is going, that the pit that's burning with fire and brimstone is reserved for him, and he's going to be cast into the pit in himself. So he has no future, and he will not obtain his goals. But the scripture does say that he has great wrath, and he has come down to the earth, and that he is deceiving many. And he wants to be like God. Now, how is he going to do that? And, well, one of the things that he does, his method of operation, standard method of operation, is imitating what God has done, because that's his goal, to be like God. When you're like something, what do you do? You imitate it. You're an imitation. You're like it. You resemble it. But he is not God. God is God. He's not king. Christ is king. Amen. Hallelujah. But he will deceive many, just as he did in the beginning when he deceived Eve in the garden. And he spoke to her with a little bit of truth, but adding a lie, and had her to think that she was missing out on something, that there was something more than what God had already given her, that by staying within God's laws, in God's judgment, that she was missing out on something. He almost gave the message that God was intimidated by her, that if she were to eat the forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge and good and evil, that she would become just as God, and God didn't want that for her. So he manipulated her mind and got her to do something that God had commanded that she shouldn't do. And because she went there and did it, that caused the fall of man. In other words, that was the transgression, the first transgression. That was the first sin. That's how man fell short. That's how man was mistaken. That's why man was wrong in God's eyes and according to God's law. Now, we talked about that yesterday, about judgment and about the law and about how it is in effect regardless of whether we want to accept it or not, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. God's law is in effect. And his law is what shows us not only what is right, but what is wrong. And it shows us where we fall short, where we come short. We can't live up to every single law. We can't do it. God's law is perfect, and we went through this yesterday, and I'm just going to touch on some of these things before we go forward. We went through this yesterday, and so in Romans 6, we talked about the grace of God. So we can't follow or be perfect and follow every law. We all fall short, and so the scripture says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection, by the shedding of his blood, our sins are covered. And then that goes back in all the way back into the Old Testament, all the way back into the time of the fall, when man sinned and God covered, they saw their nakedness, and God covered them, and he he took the skin of an animal and covered them. And he said, without the shedding of blood, then there can be no remission of sins. In other words, there has to be some bloodshed to forgive your sins, have your sins forgiven. And so that is the law, and that's how it comes in to Jesus dying and shedding his blood for our sins. And that blood covers us and covers our sin. It fulfills the law in that God has provided the sacrifice, shedding of blood for our sins. And so when we accept that, then we don't become perfect or in line with the law by our own power, but because of the sacrifice that God has provided for us. So, and that is grace, because it's because of the love of God and by the grace of God that he provided that sacrifice for us. So while we were still sinners, he died for us because he loved us. And so he wanted to provide a way for us to come back into that original relationship with him that he had created us and put us in before, in the garden, before the deception, before the fall. And so when we accept that sacrifice in God's eyes, we can enter into that original relationship. So that is by the grace of God. Now, the Romans 6, it asked the question, well, then, if that's the case, do we just continue to sin because God has forgiven us, so he's covered our sins, so then why don't we just continue to sin? Well, we are supposed to be dead to sin when we are believers. See, what we're getting down to is we have to decide who it is that we're going to serve. And we have to realize who we are serving. Because there is a deception. And we have to take a stand, and we have to seek God in his wisdom for guidance. But if we totally throw out his law, then how do we know where we stand? How do we know what direction? How do we know? So it gets to a point to where, okay, you're saved, but then what? So you're saved, all right. So you've accepted that sacrifice, and you're not going to receive the judgment for your sins, which is damnation, eternal separation from God, because the law of God says the wages of sin is death, and we touched on this yesterday. You can look at it as the imitation of God's law is in the world, and when you go to court, what do they want you to do? They want you to pay. And the wages of sin in God's law is death. That's it. And so you sin, you pay the wages. But if Christ has already paid through his death and his resurrection, then you're paid. Okay. So we're having a technical thing here. You can see they don't have the station muted, the phone muted there. Okay, let's hope that's taken care of. Okay, so going forward, let's move to chapter 7 of Romans. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, know that how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband is dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that he is no adulteress. So that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we are held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law has said, thou shalt not covet. Let's back it up a little bit here. Paul just gave us an example about a woman being married and she's bound by the law to her husband because we're told that we should not commit adultery. And so if you're married to someone and you marry someone else, that's polygamy. Or if you're married to someone and you're fooling with other people, then that is adultery. And so the law of God says that is sin. And so as long as he's living, she's bound to that law as long as they're married. So the scripture goes on and says, but when he's dead, then she's free from that law, even if she's married to another man. So the law was is that a woman couldn't marry another man as long as he was alive. But there was ways that they could release each other. So that's how the law was binding. And so, but when he died, she was free from that law. So he takes that example, and then he comes in verse 4, and he comes back and he says, wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So when this is what being born again is that now that or when a person accepts Christ and they get baptized, and the baptism is getting put under the water is like being buried, like Jesus was buried. And then you come out of the water, that's like Jesus coming out of the grave. But when you come up, you're supposed to be new. And you're supposed to be now, instead of serving the world, instead of being a slave, which serving in the scriptures, in the context that we're talking about, means slavery. And so you can be a servant or a slave to sin or to righteousness. And this goes back to authority. It goes back to subjection. Who do you subject yourself to? Who are you listening to? Who are you serving? What is your life? The things that you do, what greater purpose is that going to? So if you are doing things, that is what fruit is. That is like a tree. When a tree grows, fruit grows on the tree. And the fruit is something that the people eat. It's sustenance, it's nourishment, it feeds something. And so that's what our fruit does. Whatever it is that the things that we do, the life that we lead, that feeds into something else. And you are either going to serve something. The things that you do in life are going to serve some purpose. And many, many times we don't even know what that purpose is because of the deception in the world. And when we are focused on the world and we subject ourselves to the world, and that's where our focus is, then most likely our fruit, our actions, are going to serve the purpose of the world. Now this goes back to the scriptures that I read in the beginning about Satan. The scriptures tell us that we battle against spiritual wickedness and the rulers of the powers of darkness in high places. And the scriptures tell us that Satan took Jesus up to a high place and offered him the kingdoms of the world. And we can even look around us, and if we do any diligence to find out the times that we're living in, it doesn't take long till we start to recognize a satanic influence working in our society in high places that is manipulating the minds of the people and deceiving the people, that's drawing them away from serving God to serving sin. And the things that we do when we're drawn away and drawn into these worldly things are feeding in to more of the same. And so, in Romans chapter 7, it's telling us that the things that we do should be serving God. Now, here is the thing. We have to decide who it is that we're going to serve. And we can get saved, and we can go to church, and we can do all of those things, and we can go there with an attitude of what we're going to get out of it. And that can become our focus. And we might tend to forget what is it that we're putting back out. What is our fruit? And so when we go back to the commandment, we go back to the law of God, are we going to remember His laws? Are we going to follow His laws? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he broke it down. He said, I have not come to do away with the law. He said, as long as heaven and earth remains, not one jot or tittle of the law will pass away. He said he has come to fulfill the law. And so he broke it down and he said, all of the laws of God, and that's all the different categories of law, hang on loving God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And he said that all of the commandments hang on those, all of the laws hang on those two things, and that's what all the prophets were trying to, everything that they were saying and teaching, it all boiled down to those two things. The scripture tells us that how can we say that we love God, who we haven't seen, and we don't love our brother, who's right in front of us? It's broken down and it's made very, very simple. We're not going to understand everything. We're not going to know everything. People don't even know how many laws there are in this world. And those laws, a lot of them, many of them, don't even line up with the Word of God. And you might be able to line some of them up. But then there's God's law. So, to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, the same as become your master. Now, we have to remember, I'm not saying, don't follow the laws of the land or anything like that. But I will say right here at this point, how can you follow laws and you don't know what they are? If a lot of times, because the deception is so strong, a lot of times people think that they're obeying the laws of the land, but they're not even laws. They're doing something that they heard someone say that you have to do, and when they go to the law and research the law, they find out that that's not even a law. You don't even have to do it. This world is lawless. Anyway, that's a whole nother subject. But the bottom line is, serve God, love God. The times are treacherous, they're dangerous, and we're going to need the favor of God. So we need to walk in love towards each other. We need to come together, receive each other, acknowledge what God is doing in each other, and let the Spirit of God be magnified and work amongst us. Amen. If you don't know the Lord, all you do is just ask him to reveal himself, humble yourself, and receive what the Lord has for you. So I want to thank everybody for listening, and I look forward to being with you again next week, Thursday and Friday. Fridays from 4 to 4:30 p.m., and on Fridays from 1:30 to 2. God bless you. Remember, walk in love. Christ is King. You've been listening to Kingdom Concept. My name is Keith Field. Thanks for tuning in.